Beautiful. I think we ought to give them a round of applause, don't you? That was so, so great. All right, I am so glad that you are here. Are you glad that you're here this morning?
Yes.
Well, okay, three of you are, so that's good. Now, I haven't done announcements for a couple of weeks, so I hope it'll all come back to me. It's kind of like riding a bike, though, right? You never forget how to be able to do that. So take a look around. There are people that are traveling because of the holiday weekend, so they're not here, but you're here, and I'm so grateful that you are here, and I hope that you're grateful that you're here as well. And so we're just so grateful for the fact that we can all gather together. Hopefully you have a bulletin. How many of you have a bulletin? If you don't have a bulletin, make sure that you get one on your way out, because there's some really good information in there. So there's no activities this week. So just keep that in mind. Our daily bread devotional books are for the next quarter are out on the information table. They start June 1st, which is next Sunday. So if you haven't picked up your our daily bread devotional books, for you and maybe for someone that you know could find some encouragement from that, feel free to be able to grab an extra one if necessary. You'll also see the announcement about the Richie's trip to Uganda. It's coming up very, very quickly. They're leaving in June, and so there's details in there about that. If you are wanting to give to the Bible Project, you have this Sunday and you have next Sunday to be able to do that. So I hope you've been praying. I hope you've been asking God how much he would want you to be able to share in that project as well. And remember that giving is above your regular giving, and so we also need to keep them in prayer. There's a whole lot of details yet to fall into place for this particular trip, and so I know that they would appreciate that as well. So a couple of you this morning are very, very observant, because you saw a sign out in front of where my car is parked that says Pastor's Parking. So for many years, our leadership team have been wanting to give me my own parking space, and I've been putting it off. I've been telling them it's not necessary. And then somebody found this sign, brought it to the leadership team, and said, I think we need to do this for Pastor. So if you haven't seen the sign says, Pastor's Parking. Park here, you preach. So just so that you know that we're serious about this, I have a team of guys that are out there writing down license plate numbers and models of cars. And so if you park in that parking spot, I'm going to come and I'm going to say, so when is the next week you want to preach? Just so that I know how to plan. Okay? So just keep that in mind. All right? But I am so appreciative of our church leadership team, and I know that you're supportive as well for me to be able to have my own parking space. And so that means a lot to me. So I just want to, in a humorous way, I just want to say thank you and how much I appreciate that and how much I appreciate all of you. I love all of you so much. I'm so glad I get to be saying announcements today. I'm so glad that I get to be preaching today, because I've missed it. Because while we were gone, I missed you. And so it's good to get away, but I miss you so much when we're gone. So I'm glad to be home. I hope you're glad to have me home. I guess we'll see at the end of the service how that goes. All right. Okay. You ready to worship?
Yeah.
Ready to praise God? Because that's why we're here.
Yes, we are.
To be able to do that. Let's do it. Let's
go,
worship team.
Would you stand with me this morning? Let's start with Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Trinity. persons, blessed Trinity. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me it was in the garden. He prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own griefs, but sweat drops of blood for mine. Next verse. In pity angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night, singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Last verse. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see. 'Twill be my joy through the ages to sing of his love for me. Singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
A cappella, just your voices.
How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We love to sing your praise. We love to sing about your love and your mercy, your goodness. And it's our joy that we'll be able to sing for all ages of how great you are. Not about us, not about this life, not about this world, but about you. You are amazing. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. It's good to be in church today, amen? Yeah. God is so good. We're going to sing all about him today.
Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. one needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. The Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Lord, fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Yes, I surrender. God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Shine your light and let the world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Oh, Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. He is mighty to save. There's a grace when the heart is under fire. Another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire standing next to me. There was another in the waters, holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there is a cross that bears the burden where another died for me. There is another in the fire. Oh, all my dead left for dead beneath the water. I'm no longer a slave to my sin anymore. Should I fall in the space between what remains of me and this reckoning? Either way, I won't bow to the things of this world. I know I will never be alone. There is another in the fire. Another in the waters, holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding what power set me free, there is a grave that holds nobody, and now that power lives in me. There is another in the fire. Oh, there is another in the fire. Oh, there see the light in the darkness as the darkness bows to him. I can hear the roar in the heavens as the space between wears thin. I can feel the ground shake beneath us as the prison walls give in. Nothing stands between us. Nothing stands between us. There is no other name but the name that is Jesus. He who was and still is and will be through it all. So come what may in the space between all the things unseen and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. Yes. Oh, I know I will never be alone. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. There'll be another in the fire standing next to me. There'll be another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding how good you've been to me, I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be. I'll count the joy come every battle, 'cause I know that's where you'll be.
We can trust in you, Jesus, and I'm so thankful for that. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you. You were there in the past. You are with us today in the present. And you're preparing a future where you go before us. Lord, thank you so, so much for who you are and for what you have done. God, you're incredible. Jesus, you're amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. As we take this morning's offering, we're going to sing a song to you called No Longer Slaves. We are no longer slaves to sin, to fear, and sometimes we just need a little reminder of that. So as you give this morning, please don't give money. Please give an offering to our Lord.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies until all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave. My mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
A slave to God or a slave to fear? Which is the better choice? To God. Exactly. All right, turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 4. Now, I know that this morning I am going to be preaching to a very astute, very observant, nothing gets by this crowd. And so as you're turning to Joshua chapter 4, I know what you're thinking. But Pastor, we're already beyond Joshua chapter 4 in our study of the book of Joshua, aren't we? And the answer is yes. So then, Pastor, why are we going back to Joshua chapter 4 today? Well, let me give you a little bit of backstory so that you know the rest of the story. As a fellow that I miss named Paul Harvey used to say quite regularly. So when we were in Joshua chapter 4, and we talked about the memorial stones. How many of you remember that? Come on. Come on, you're not that old, okay? You don't have, your memories aren't that bad, okay? All right? So as I put the sermon together about the memorial stones, and as it was flowing and it was coming together really, really well, I had this flash in my mind, which happens occasionally, that you know what? Going down this way would really fit Memorial Day. And so I set that aside, and I started looking at the chapter 4, the memorial stones, in a totally different way, in a totally different avenue. And God, for that particular message, led me down that track to be able to go. So I set that one that I felt was appropriate for Memorial Day aside. And so as it was getting close to Memorial Day weekend, guess what? I pulled it out. And I said, we're going to do this again. And you know, sometimes that's just the way that it works. I remember when one of my previous churches, I was preaching through the book of Ephesians. And I was preaching from Ephesians, this chapter and this chapter, and I would preach this set of verses, and I would get ready to move on to either another chapter or another set of verses, and God would say, wait a minute, what about this? You said this in these verses, but what about this? And so I built like 3-4 different sermons all on one set of the same verses. And I thought maybe they would eventually get tired of me preaching on the same verses. But nobody ever said anything, so I just kept going the way that God wanted me to be able to go. And so it's always worked out. So Joshua chapter 4, we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 8 this morning. Now, most of you know, and it's no real secret, that I enjoy history. And while on our recent vacation, Becky and I visited some places that were full of history. And I was in my element. So one of the first places that we went on our vacation was we went to the Circus World Museum in Baraboo, Wisconsin. How many of you have ever heard of Baraboo, Wisconsin? Yeah, I didn't think so. Okay, one person. Okay, all right. Okay. So why is there a circus museum in a small town like Baraboo, Wisconsin? Well, here's the answer. And I didn't find out the answer to this till we went to the circus museum. This is where the five Ringling brothers were born and raised. So it's considered to be the birthplace of the circus. Because one of the Ringling brothers, he was he joined up with a circus that was traveling here in the United States that was started in Germany. And so one day they were, all of the five brothers were together and they were having dinner at the home place, and they were talking about the German circus, and one of the brothers said, "You know what? We don't need the German circus. We can start a circus of our own." And so from that moment on, they began to start their own circus and put the things together for that. And all five of the brothers were involved in some fashion in that first circus. And then there was this other guy named P.T. Barnum. You might have heard of him. There was this movie a few years ago about The Greatest Showman, about P.T. Barnum. Anyway, they merged with the Ringling Brothers Circus, and then it became the Barnum and Bailey Ringling Brothers Circus. So at this circus museum, there were lots of exhibits and facts about the history of the circus. When I was a young man, I read a book called Toby Tyler. And it was about this young man who didn't like being at home. He didn't care for his home life, and so he ran away and joined the circus. And I always thought, I want to do that. I want to run away and join the circus. But God had other plans, so I never got to be able to do that. Now, at this circus museum, they claim to have the largest collection of circus wagons in the whole world. And I believe that, because we saw wagon after wagon, and these wagons actually have been used in circuses all over the world. And so they even have a way that when they find out where there's a circus wagon that needs repaired, that has kind of been neglected over the years, they go, they purchase that, has the museum, they bring it back to the museum, and then they restore that circus wagon. And we were able to look into where they do the restoration and to be able to see them working on a couple different circus wagons while we were there. So interesting. So if you ever get to this little town in Wisconsin called Baraboo, you need to go to the Circus World Museum. It is well worth the time to be able to go and see that. And we were there right after it just opened for the season. And so we basically had the whole place to ourselves. And they were just beginning to put up their big top. And so during the season, the tourist season, in the big top, every 45 minutes or so, they have a different circus act performing, because they bring in these acts to be able to do that. And so it was just interesting. We also went to this place called Mackinac Island. How many of you ever heard of that? Okay, all right. And so that Mackinac Island is in northern Michigan, and this island is full of history. It was interesting to listen to the tour guides talk about the history of the island. Now, this island is different than a lot of places that you could go and visit. There are no motorized vehicles allowed on the island. And so if you want to get around the island, you have to either go by a horse-drawn carriage or a horse-drawn taxi or a horse-drawn tour carriage like we did. And just interesting. Now they do, there's so only bicycles. Now they do allow electric bikes, but the electric bikes have to have to be equipped so that it doesn't make a whole lot of sound. And so it was so peaceful. And so there's stores. In fact, there's one grocery store. And when the boats come in, the boats can come into the marina. And when they unload the supplies for the businesses and the grocery store, they don't have trucks. There was no UPS trucks, no FedEx trucks. Get this, no Amazon trucks. It was amazing, okay, to be able to experience this. And so what they do is they have these flatbed carts. They load the supplies up on these flatbed carts, and then they either hook them to a team of horses to take around to the businesses to be able to deliver them, or they hook them to the back of a tour carriage or a taxi, horse-drawn taxi, to be able to be delivered. Isn't that amazing? And so it was so quiet. It was so quiet that the only really noise that you could hear was the clip-clop, clip-clop, clip-clop of the horses as they were pulling the carriages. Now, there is one place where there are motorized vehicles that are allowed. There's this place called the Grand Hotel. You may have heard of it. It has a porch that goes all the way around it. It is a huge, huge structure. If you've ever watched the movie Somewhere in Time, all of that movie was filmed on Mackinac Island. I've never seen it, so I can't recommend it or not recommend it. So I just know some of the history, okay? And so connected to this Grand Hotel is an 18-hole golf course. And they allow golf carts on the golf course. But the golf carts have to stay on the golf course. So if you play all 18 holes, when you're done with the first set of nine, you leave your golf cart on that set of nine, and you have to take a horse-drawn carriage or taxi to the other nine where you pick up a different golf cart. They can only stay on the golf cart. They're not allowed on the streets of Mackinac Island. Amazing, isn't it? Just amazing. Now, there is a fort on Mackinac Island, and Jeremy's put up a picture of it right there. And that fort is so full of history. It's a fort that was used during the 1800s to protect the northern United States. And it was interesting to read about the history of the fort. It is a working fort. In other words, as a living memorial to how it was used to be able to protect that part of the United States during that particular time. And so there's placards, there's information all over. We were there just as the presenters were getting there to be able to do presentations about what life was like in the fort during the 1800s. And that was so interesting. And so as we were at the Circus Museum, as we were at Mackinac Island, and especially the fort on Mackinac Island, I couldn't help but understand that these places are really memorials. They're memorials of history. They're memorials because of something that was accomplished in particular places. And as we come to Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, we see God instruct the Israelites to build a memorial to remember his power and grace in their lives. Hopefully by now you've found Joshua chapter 4. Follow along as I read verses 1 through 8. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, remember, they were going over the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, into the promised land, the land that had been promised centuries before this to Abraham and then to Jacob, or then to Isaac and then to Jacob. And so now they've crossed over the Jordan. God, remember, had parted the rivers of the River Jordan so that they could go across on what? Dry land. Oh, remember he did that when they came out of Egypt so that they could cross the Red Sea on what? Dry land. Okay. And then look at what he says in verse 2. Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder. These were not stones you could put in your pocket. These were stones that had to be carried on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a what? Memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Now, memorials I've come to understand, and I think Memorial Day helps us to be able to be reminded of that. Memorials are very important. They are extremely important. And I want us to talk about that a little bit this morning to help prepare us for the celebration of communion. So here's one of the reasons why they're extremely important, because there is a necessity for memorials. If you're taking notes, that's the first point. Memorials record and help us remember the work of God. Let's go back and look at verses 1 through 5. When all the nation had finished doing what? Passing over the Jordan. The Lord said to Joshua, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe of man, and command them, saying, take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel. Now God instructed Joshua to select a man from each tribe for a specific responsibility. And as God had stacked the waters of the Red Sea in the Exodus under the leadership of Moses, he was now about to do something similar for Joshua and this generation as they entered back into the promised land of Canaan. But what would life be like in this land? Would it be a vacation? No, we've already learned that it's not. For Israel, it would be a place of challenges, but it would also be a place of trust. Because Israel knew they had to trust God with all that they were and all that they had. Because the challenges got bigger in the promised land. But so did the blessings of God. And he instructed them to take these memorial stones that would serve as a reminder of his power, his faithfulness, and his blessings. So that future generations that would come to the banks of the Jordan, the narrative would be told of how God had stacked the waters of the Jordan River so that the Israelites went into the land of Canaan on dry land. The very stones they would see were the stones that had been picked up out of the dry riverbed. Why? To remember that the same God that had been with Moses was with Joshua. The location might be different, but the same God was with them. And God wanted them to be able to have a way to be able to remember what he was doing for them. In England, Remembrance Day, which is November 11th, is the equivalent to our Memorial Day. It began because of the many casualties the victorious Allies suffered in World War I. On a wall in a church in West Belfast, there is a memorial plaque for the soldiers from that congregation who lost their lives in the 36th Ulster Regiment's famous participation in the Battle of the Somme in 1916. That plaque contained the names of about 100 young men from that church and the neighborhood where the church is, who died during that battle. History records that England would lose 58,000 soldiers in that battle, with some estimates of a third of them in the first hour of the attack. There is a need for memorials. And there's a need for memorials today. And do you know that we're a nation of memorials? There are 99 national monuments in America, 86 national historic sites, 25 national military parks and battlefields, 44 national memorials, and 45 national historic parks. Do you think that we're a nation of memorials? I think so. And God knew the importance of memorials, and he commanded the nation of Israel to establish them. Memorials are extremely important, and there's a reason for memorials. God instructed Joshua to place these memorial stones as a display of his interaction with the lives of his people. Listen to verse 6 again. That this may be a sign among you, when your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Now, don't overlook the timing of this event. Israel had been wandering in the desert for the past 40 years since their deliverance from Egypt. Moses at that time had been the physical and spiritual leader of the nation. God had spoken directly to Moses. God had given the law through Moses. God had done powerful miracles and plagues through Moses. And now, Moses is dead. And certainly this could have been a crisis of leadership. But let me remind you, the leader of Israel was still alive, because the leader of Israel is God. And just as he had opened the Red Sea for Israel while Moses was God's appointed leader, now God was going to open up the Jordan now that Joshua is God's appointed leaders. And I want you to remember this. It wasn't the leader, but the God of the leader that was consistent. Aren't you happy for that this morning? Aren't you glad for that? Don't you appreciate that? I know that I do. Now notice here in verse 6, something really interesting. That God is looking forward to the future. We have a tendency to live in the past. We have a tendency to live in the present. And we have a tendency not to consider the future. But notice that God here in verse 6 is looking forward to the future. He says that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? God is looking to the next generation and wants to instill trust and courage in himself for those future generations. Why is this recorded for us in the Bible? So that we could trust and that we could have courage in God in this generation that at the point of time when this happened was future. God knew this generation of Israelites, as well as future generations, needed the confidence and assurance of seeing his purpose and plan at work. God also knows the curiosity of children and instructs Israel to build a lasting memorial that will cause future generations to ask about the greatness of God. This Memorial Day, my prayer is that during the busyness of everything you will be doing with family or friends, that you will take the time to reflect on all of those who have served in our nation's military during the 30-plus wars or major operations our nation has been involved in since its independence. But more importantly, I pray that you will also reflect upon the memorials of God's faithfulness in your life. Because no matter how long your life has been, no matter how short your life has been, you can look back and you can see where God has brought you through certain things. Sometimes a storm, and I don't mean the weather. Sometimes an unpleasant circumstance. Sometimes a situation. Sometimes a limited ability. Sometimes a decrease in our physical stamina. And our physical capabilities. Sometimes God has taken you and brought you through some of those things. And as you look back, your remembrance of those things is a testimony. It's a memorial of what God has done. So I want you to take some time today, tomorrow, to reflect on what it is that God has done for you in the past. Maybe even the present. And as Jared reminded us just a little bit ago about what God's going to do for us in the future. Because all of those fall in the category of what? Memorials. Here's the third thing. The essence of memorials. God desired for this memorial stones to be an enduring memorial. Look at verses 7 and 8 again. Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. These 12 stones were to represent each tribe of Israel. They were to be a reminder that deliverance was for all people. Here in just a few moments, we're going to partake together in the celebration of communion. Communion is a reminder that Jesus died on the cross for all people. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He died on that cross for all people. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, and he became the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. God's deliverance of his redemption is for all people. And in order to experience that, all we have to do is believe in him as Savior. In April 1863 in Columbus, Mississippi, after decorating graves of her two sons who served during the Civil War as Confederate soldiers, an elderly woman also decorated two mounds at the corner of the cemetery. An observer asked, "What are you doing? These are the graves of two Union soldiers." Her reply, "I know. I also know that somewhere in the North, a mother or a young wife mourns for them as we do for ours." You see, Memorial Day is celebrated each year to remember those who gave their lives in the armed forces. We remember those who died on faraway battlefields to bring freedom and democracy to a grateful nation. We honor their actions by honoring them in special ceremonies. Sometimes we remember this holiday, we know to be Memorial Day, as Decoration Day, because we decorate the graves of fallen heroes with flags and flowers. When Israel crossed the Jordan River to enter the Promised Land once again, God instructed Joshua to build a memorial, and they were memorial stones of God's great grace. And every one of those graves, of every one of those fallen soldiers and military personnel, are memorials of God's great grace given to us as a nation. Not because of who we are, not because of what we've done, but because of his grace, his great grace. Now, God has given us a celebration of communion as a memorial. We don't have memorial stones. We have communion. And communion is a remembering of the sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf as he paid the debt of our sin on that cross. The bread is a memorial of Jesus' broken body on the cross. The cup is a memorial of Jesus' blood shed for us on the cross. And as we celebrate communion today, let us remember and honor Jesus. I'm going to ask the men to join me at the table. And as they're coming, let me just remind you that in order to celebrate communion with us this morning, you don't have to be a regular attender of Lake Hazel Bible Church. You just have to know Jesus as your Savior.
Love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Thank you.
Let's remember Jesus.
When mortal time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and
remember Jesus.
For our last song, would you all stand up with me, please?
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, in the end we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when face to face with you, died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day, we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith. With one voice, a thousand generations sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Forever he shall. Shout the hymn of heaven with angels and the saints. We raise a mighty roar. Glory to our God who gave us life.